Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, where we see that we are all guilty before God with a debt that we could never repay. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be preaching a message entitled, Our Greatest Need, where we see that Jesus paid our debt in full on the cross. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12.
Okay? He who compares themselves among themselves is foolish. Jesus Christ, who is perfect and sinless and flawless and spotless, he is the standard. So, watch. And this will get more encouraging. This will get better. Just give me a second to lay out my case. Five different words are used for sin that I came across in the New Testament. The most common one of all five is this first one, hamartia. Okay, that's how you say it. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. That one simply means, which most of you are probably quite familiar with, in its original use, it speaks of somebody who is shooting and missing the target. Shooting a gun, shooting an arrow, and missing the target, right? There's bullseye and you miss. That's the most commonly used word for sin in the New Testament. You've missed the mark of perfection. You've missed your target. You've missed your goal. All have sinned in that, and I'll use each one in the text, in that they have missed the mark of perfection. Right away for me, I'm not a tough nut to crack when it comes to these things. I'm raising my hand, I'm saying guilty. If that was the only word used for sin in all of Scripture, I am convicted. I'm good. I am not perfect. Would you agree with yourself, be not perfect? But certainly for me, I can't get a verbal response from everybody, but this is just the first word. I absolutely would say, yeah, okay, I'm guilty. Dave has sinned because he's missed the mark of perfection, and Dave has fallen short of the glory of God. But maybe for you, you think, no, I'm pretty good. That's not getting me yet. Let's move on. The second word that is used for sin in the New Testament is parabasis, P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. This word here speaks of a stepping across. It speaks of a line which is drawn between right and wrong, honesty and dishonesty, truth and false, and you can go on and on, kindness and courtesy versus selfishness and harshness. A line that is drawn and you being on the wrong side of the line. Guilty. I am on the wrong side of the line. Dave has sinned by being on the wrong side of the line. And Dave has fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not always kind. I'm not always courteous. I'm not always truthful. I'm not always upright in my doings and in my allowings of happenings in my body and the use of my body. I'm guilty. But maybe you're still here this morning. You think, no, I'm pretty moral and I do choose the right side of the line most of the times, all the time, whatever you want to say. Okay, well, our third word that we'll use this morning is parapetoma. P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A. This is a good one. You know what it means? It means a slipping across. It speaks of a slippery, icy road, if you would. And you slip across the lane, you slide across the lane unintentionally, right? Words that slip out. You ever have that happen to you? Words slip out of your mouth before you. This morning it happened to me. I know it's a shocker for you. But this morning it happened to me as I was getting ready for church. I was upstairs shaving and my wife came up and she says to me and I just barked. I just said something back really rough and I'm like, what did I even do that for? And I went back downstairs and I said, I don't even know why I just did that other than I'm a jerk. I'm sorry. I have no clue why I just spoke roughly to you when you asked me something. I have no clue. It just slipped out of my mouth. And the Lord's like, that's because you're guilty of parapetoma. I'm like, of course. I slipped across the wrong side of the lane. Words that slip out of our mouth. How about some impulse? You impulsively do something. Or some type of passion that we act on in the moment. David has sinned in that he was impulsive. He slipped on the wrong side of the line, right? I mean, I did something out of the moment of heat or passion, and David has fallen short of the glory of God. That's a really convincing one. Because even if you say to the first two, I'm dead on target in what I want to do, I always choose the right side of the line, but do you always stay on the right side of the line? Don't you sometimes slip? Haven't you ever said something or thought something or done something that you were not purposing to do? It just sort of happened because by nature you're a sinner? Come on. I mean, this is really convincing. This is a really tough thing to wiggle ourselves out of. Because when you hear that you're a sinner, you're not, if you understand it Jesus style, which I'm going to seek to do the best of my ability, you're not going to sit here and think, oh, I'm a sinner. You're not going to be down on yourself, focused on yourself. You're just going to understand your desperation for the Lord and his saving grace. That's the whole purpose of this. That's what Paul has done. That's what I'm doing. I'm working my way. That was the third. I'm supposed to be just going through these. It's so incredibly hard. The fourth is anomia. Fourth word used for sin, A-N-O-M-I-A. It speaks of lawlessness. This one speaks of a person that knows the right and who yet does the wrong. They know the law, and yet they break the law. Like, the law says you shouldn't litter. It's a banana peel. It's an apple cord. Yeah, but the law says you should not litter. Yeah, but it's biodegradable. Birds can eat it. It's fine, right? I mean, the simplest of things. The law says you shouldn't steal. Well, it's an eraser from my teacher's desk. Really not a big deal. But it's your teacher's eraser. Really not a big deal. But it's your teacher's eraser. And you shouldn't steal. The law says you shouldn't speed. It's 5 miles over the speed limit. You don't get pulled over unless you go over 7 miles over the speed limit per hour. So I'm not really doing anything wrong. Says who? New York State says, the state that you live in, that 50 miles per hour or 65 miles per hour is the speed limit. And anything over is breaking the law. You're lawless. I'm lawless. We're lawless. New York State says you shall not text when you drive. I did a wedding last night out in Canisius. It was pouring on the way back late last night, like 8 o'clock. That's late to me. And I'm driving home. I could barely see. I'm driving like an older man. Like this, I can't even see. My windshield wipers are terrible. And I see this girl next to me. She's sort of like swerving in and out. And she's just like this, just texting on her phone. It was you. No, I'm just kidding. How many of us do that? Oh, I just sent it real quick at the stoplight. No, you're not supposed to have your phone in your hand. We're lawless people. Come on, that's what we're supposed to see here. And it gets a lot worse than that, obviously. I'm just trying to, I'm bringing you down right now is what I'm doing. The fifth word, the last word, the word that is used in the body of the Lord's Prayer, the word that is used before this morning, forgive us our debts, which, by the way, is my favorite. Because everybody here that's an adult, you high schoolers have no clue, but everybody else beyond you high schoolers, everybody else, the word debt resonates with you, doesn't it? You've got debt. You got kids, you've got debt, right? You got debt for their braces, you got debt for your mortgage, you got debt for health, I mean, whatever. You got debt. Debt is what we have as a nation, as American. We understand debt, don't we? We are owned by China. I mean, we are so in debt that our children, our children's children, are going to be done for because of the debt, unless the grace of God intervenes. So we get the word debt. Let me define it for you. It's the word that's used here this morning. This is what the word debt means according to the concordance of the Greek language here. It means a failure to pay that which is due. Here's the best part. Ready? Here's what I wrote. A failure in duty. Perfect. You're in debt to me, or I'm in debt to you because of a failure in duty. In other words, this is what it's saying here. No man who has ever perfectly fulfilled, his duty to God or to man. There's no perfect husband here. There's no perfect father here. There's no perfect mother here. There's no perfect wife here. There's no perfect elder, pastor, school teacher, engineer, doctor, nurse, lawyer. That's all just on the horizontal to man. And certainly there's not any perfect son or daughter of God. And obviously there's no perfect sinner. So, I mean, we here understand then we have this insurmountable debt of sin. We owe a debt that we could never, ever pay. It is so stacked up upon us. And every day we live, we accumulate sin. So the more sin that we accumulate, the more debt that is stacked up upon us. we're even that much more indebted to the Lord, if you would. Is it making sense so far? The reason why it's to the Lord is because he's the only sinless one. We got to understand why Jesus said we have to ask for forgiveness of our debts. We got to understand how do I say this appropriately? How done we are to understand the need for forgiveness. I got to show you that. You have to understand that this morning for us to appreciate the message of the cross. Here's then what we need to understand. Sin is an absolute unpayable debt against God as a result of rebellion, casual indifference, us being turned to our own way. Sin includes thoughts. This is getting tricky now because God knows our thoughts before they're even had. Sin includes thoughts. That's scary. That's troubling. That brings me down. If I say I've done everything else right in those five words used in the New Testament, if I've done all of those things, okay, let's get internal now. How's your thoughts? You ever undressed the opposite sex before in your mind? Do you ever have sex in your mind with somebody that's not your spouse? Do you ever beat somebody to a pulp in your mind before because of anger? You ever done any of these things? You ever covet something that your neighbor has internally? Their lawnmower, their vehicle, what is it? I mean, their house, their toys. You ever done those things? The Bible says that God knows your thoughts before they're even had. Your words, He hears every word that comes out of our mouth. Thoughts that turn into words, he hears them. Cussing, cursing, vulgarity, perversion, his name in vain. Oh my God. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Oh my God. How many times do we do that? Deeds. He sees our deeds. Every single thing that we do is naked and open before the Lord. You're in the dark. Heaven has you in the limelight. There's nothing that you can do to God's blind eye. He doesn't have one. Just like your mother. She's got eyes on the back of her head. He's got eyes all around his head. He sees every single thing that you do. Motives. We can trick each other. We can do things for each other under the guise of benevolence, when in all reality, our motives are wrongly motivated. We've got the wrong motive for why we do what we do. God knows why we do what we do. Sin includes sins of omission, which is not what we're supposed to do. Sins of commission, doing what we know we shouldn't do. I mean, we are so guilty before God. We are so indebted before the Lord. I don't have more time to illuminate that to you, but I think it's a good start for us to understand that this morning. So that's what Paul means, because I got to move on, when he says that all have sinned, somewhere in that sin category you fit, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what he means. And then he says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. Here's the payout for sin, death. You ever wonder why death is in our world? You ever wonder where death came from? Sin. Not necessarily that person's personal specific sin, but sin in general. Sin has entered into the world through one man, Adam, the father of us all. It's been passed on from generation to generation. We are sinners by nature and by will. And the wages of sin is death. Listen, it makes a ton of sense if you listen and use your mind right now. And I'm not saying that demeaningly. I'm saying that sincerely. Because our culture buries the head in their sand. They don't want to think. Think these things through. Why is there death? Why is there suffering? Why is there pain in this world? There's one answer. Because of sin and the god of this world, Satan. And because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the payout for sin is death. That's why Jesus Christ came to this world and paid our debts in full by dying on that tree for our sins. We got to understand that this morning. He paid our debt in full by death. Did you ever wonder why did Christ have to die? Why does it have to be gruesome? Why does it have to be bloody? Why does it have to be such a monstrosity? Have you ever thought this through before? Have you ever thought through before? I'm a thinker. I think things through. I can't just do something to do it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to say, why is this such a bloody mess? Why is there blood? Why does there have to be death? There has to be death because God is just. In order for God to be just and the justifier, he had to pay the debt. He's not a grandpa who just says, oh, it never happened. It's okay. You made a mess of your life, but I will pretend it never, ever happened. Grandparents do that. My mother had my kids yesterday for 6 hours. Ma, how were they? Great. No, there's no way they were great. I live with them. There's no way they were great. How was Charlo, Ma? Has he been good? Because he's been having some issues lately. He's just tired with school and stuff. How was Charlo? He was wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, at least if you just said he was pretty good, I would have believed it. But wonderful? There's not a shot he was wonderful. You're a liar. No, I'm just kidding. That's what grandparents do. God doesn't take your sin and just say, oh, it never happened. So cute. Pinch your cheek. God doesn't ignore it. I'm going to talk about this more next week. I can't because of time. There's so much I want to do, but I can't. God says, because I'm just, I have to maintain me being just, but also to be your justifier, the debt has to be paid. So, Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, sinning, he died for us. You watching this? The Romans road, we're walking down this path to Jesus Christ. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So God said, I'm going to do something about this. So the very God that we are indebted to, the very God that we've offended, intervened. And said, I got a plan. I'm going to give my son Jesus Christ. I'm going to demonstrate my love to humanity in giving my son to pay the debt in full. So then, like C.S. Lewis said, we owe a debt that we can never pay, and he paid a debt that he never owed. So that there could be no more condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you, Romans 10, call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. For if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved from your sins. That's dynamic. Therefore, Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of all of this, that you would present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be being transformed by the renewing of your mind and your spirit. You become a new person now. You're altogether different because all that debt and sin that you owe, God paid the price for in full. So you can be washed and cleansed and have fellowship with the Lord. Because your debt was so great. There was nothing that you could pay on it. There was nothing that you could do about it. So God said, I've got it. I'll do it. So long as you understand who you are and who I am able and I will save you from your sins. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. That's outstanding. That's initial salvation. That's how you come to Christ. Calling upon the name of the Lord, acknowledging that you have missed the mark of perfection and that he is the mark of perfection and you need him to be your Savior King. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Huh, that was an introduction. Forgive us our debts then. It's not speaking of an initial salvation, which you need to have for this prayer to be yours. This is a kid crying out to their dad. You see it with me here. Our Father. This is somebody who's already done that and made that commitment that is keeping constant cleansings taking place in their life so they can have constant fellowship with the Lord. So, because like Peter in John 13, I can't take you there, but you can write it down and go look at it. Jesus is washing his disciples' feet there in John 13. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Eve, right? That's in the Greek. Some of you are so serious in church. He didn't say Eve. He said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can have no part with me. So Peter says, wonderfully. Peter says, brilliantly. Peter says, okay, Lord, not my feet only, but give me a bath. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash my body, wash me from head to toe. And Jesus so graciously says this, Peter, that's not necessary. That's already been done. All you need is your feet washed because that part has already been done to you, the whole cleansing. In other words, then, here's the application. You've already been washed from your sins. But because you walk through this dirty, crusty world, you accumulate more dirt on your feet in your walk, if you would. So therefore, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, my feet got dirty, he then is faithful and just to give you a bath like he did Peter there in John 13. And to cleanse you, catheterize you, drain you of your sin poison that you would otherwise be accumulating as debt against God so that you can maintain a walk with him. How outstanding is this? You hear nothing else? Hear this. What sets Christianity apart from the other 99 religions of the world is that it's the only message out there that says this. You've offended God. You've gone against God habitually, regularly in your lifestyle. But God has provided the means to forgive you as his child. There's nothing else out there on the table for you like this. The message of Christianity, if that was too deep for you, is this. Forgiveness. That is the message of Christianity. But if all I did this morning is come up here and talk to you about forgiveness in Jesus without first bringing you down, forgiveness of what? Christianity, salvation, forgiveness, being born again, is not for the recovering heroin addict alone. It's not for the guy on Avenue D laying on the corner of the street drunk alone. It's not for the prostitute alone, the stripper alone, for the lowlife in our minds alone. It's for all of us. The elite, the prestigious, the educated, the white, the black, it doesn't matter. Salvation is for mankind because our greatest need is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's the message today. You're not supposed to leave here thinking, man, what a no good sinner I am. That's the start so you can understand your need for forgiveness. You're supposed to leave here today thinking, what an amazing Savior we have in Jesus. What amazing grace. You hear us talk about grace a lot here. Grace, the essence of grace, best definition ever, the essence of grace is Jesus Christ. Him coming and becoming sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to become sin for us. He literally became sin for us. He didn't sin, but he became our sin for us so that we then can become the right on or the righteousness of God. That is why Jesus came. He came for this specific reason, to redeem the world of their sin.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.